Shri Bhakti Vaibhava ki
Jai.
Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki
Jai.
Giriraj Maharaj ki
Jai.
Jai Nitai Gopremanandi. So what did we discuss last night? We should move this
put it on the stage up there.
Two of you to go. So, what did we discuss last night?
Gaudiya Vaishnavism is not only specified as goal, it also has been a process, then the process to achieve its goal. Bhagavad Gita Swami has given the main purpose.
Any other points?
Spiritual goals can be attained by only Vaishnavas.
It's not working. Broken. Who was saying?
Spiritual world can be only attained by Vaishnavas and through
devotional devotees only. That's good. Do you want to just shut that properly? Because there's some draft coming. So. Any other points?
One love, Krishna genuinely. One in your
mind. Anything else?
Worship of things related to the Lord is equally important.
Good. Awesome. Anything else?
Sometimes we are carried on our spiritual life by the people whom we are instructing. Yeah. They will become far more spiritually advanced than us, and then they can lift us up.
All the paraphernalias of the Lord are to worship equally. And Lord, that is more greater than worshipping Lord himself. Making the disconnection.
Yeah.
The nature of prema is humility. And Guru Maharaj was not proud when he remarked to be taken.
Good. Anything else?
Every bullet to train a child to become like Guru Maharaj.
Just by getting initiated, it's not automatically we'll go back to God. We have to do our, put in our efforts and follow what a Guru Maharaj says. Follow the instructions.
Good. Any other points?
You must always be indebted to your Guru.
Be.
You must always be indebted to your Guru Maharaj.
You can never be there. We can never be their guru. Only way you can try is by preaching as well as the person.
Good.
Morning. A recitation of the fasting for Guru Maharaj in the morning and in the evening in the association of Pandramana. That will give liberation.
Anything else?
We should be attentive while performing devotional activities.
That's funny.
A devotee enjoys death because there's something to look forward to.
Sadhana leads to sadhya, so focus on sadhana and do austerities.
Good. So we see that Dhruva Maharaj has been liberated and has been picked up by the servants of Lord Vishnu, Nanda and Sunanda, and he is on the push Bibhimana and entering back to the spiritual world. In his case, his destination is Dhruvaloka. Dhruvaloka is the pole star, or in that vicinity. It is a spiritual planet within this world, which is eternal. It's a Vaikuntha planet. So he's entering back to that planet. So now we'll keep reading from verses 36. Tonight we'll go to verse 43. And then, let's close that properly. 36 to 43. Then next Monday we'll finish the chapter, and then on Tuesday, next Tuesday, we'll have the revision of the chapters 8 to 12, and then the following Monday we'll have the exam, the closed book exam, and your open book exam and your oral presentation must also be completed by the 7th of September, which is 2 weeks from now. Not that soon.
One question.
Yeah.
Guru Maharaj made the attendance wait that long to finish all his duties, religious duties. Is it the way?
To do what?
You know, see how the Bhiman came and the Dutas came to take him. So he took bath, then he put the tilak, then he worshipped everything, then he saw the rishis. So is it right to make them wait that long?
Yeah, it's okay. They weren't upset.
Okay.
It wasn't very long, because how long was he going away for? So then what's the problem? 1 hour, 2 hours? How much time is that?
Okay.
Not a big deal.
But the attendants had to
wait. Yeah, but how long have they got?
I thought they wanted to see Lord Vishnu.
They're always seeing Lord Vishnu. Srila Prabhupada is always seeing Krishna. So they're always seeing Lord Vishnu, so no problem.
Good.
Take your time. Okay, so we'll begin from verse 36. The self-effulgent Vaikuntha planets, by whose illumination alone all the illuminating planets within this material world give off reflected light, cannot be reached by those who are merciful. Cannot be reached by those who are not merciful to other living entities. Only persons who constantly engage in welfare activities for other living entities can reach the Vaikuntha planets. So, you the first.
Here is a description of the two aspects of Vaikuntha planets. The first is that in the Vaikuntha sky there is no need of sun and moon. This is confirmed by Upanishads as well as Bhagavad Gita. Natat bhashayato suryo nashashango na pavakaha. In the spiritual world, the Vaikuntha Loka are themselves illuminated. There is therefore no need of sun, moon or electric light. It is in fact illumination of the Vaikuntha Lokas which is reflected in the material sky. Only by this reflection are the suns in the material universes illuminated. After the illumination of the sun, all the stars and moon are illuminated. In other words, all the luminaries in the material sky borrow illumination from Vaikuntha Loka. From this material world, however, people can be transferred to Vaikuntha Loka if they incessantly engage in welfare activities for all other living entities. Such incessant welfare activities can really be performed only in Krishna consciousness. There is no philanthropic work within this material world but Krishna consciousness that can engage a person 24 hours a day.
So what are the points in this first paragraph?
You should incessantly engage any welfare activity for all other living entities.
Hmm.
Earlier we heard that the moon is a star. Proposition star, moon is a star, right?
The moon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now he is mentioning that there is planet now, they require the light from the sun, which is what science says that.
Hmm. No, same as what it says. Yeah. Prabhupada's already said that the sun is the only luminous planet in the universe. We already discussed that a few weeks back. The moon is reflecting the sun's light. Although it does say that the moon also has grass on it, which is effulgent also. So there's some light coming from the moon, but is also reflected from the sun. So. Any other points?
The quality of compassion is a unique quality of a Vaishnava, and that is being brought out here.
Highest welfare activity is reaching Krishna consciousness.
Hmm.
Same thing.
Same point.
Krishna consciousness is the only welfare activity really helpful to everyone.
Beneficial. So Prabhupada explains that all the luminaries in the material sky borrow their illumination from the Vaikuntha planets. So the Vaikuntha planets are luminous because the Lord himself is situated on each planet. Just like Krishna is situated on the Goloka planet. So because Krishna is there and Krishna is luminous, because Krishna has the Brahma Jyoti emanating from him, then there is a light coming from this planet. It is coming from the Lord himself. So this Brahma Jyoti, this spiritual light which comes from the Lord, then it reflects into the material world, and then that the sun is the reflection, or it's receiving its energy from that Brahma Jyoti, from the Lord's own energy, or his own effulgence, like that. And from the Lord's effulgence then comes the effulgence of the sun in this material world. So the sun is luminous due to the presence of Surya Narayan. Surya Narayan is actually a partial incarnation of the Lord, Surya Dev. So because of his presence, then the sun is effulgent. And then the effulgence of the sun and the sun god, that illuminates the entire material world. Otherwise the material world is dark by nature. Just like we see now, it is dark. Well, when the sun rises, then the universe becomes light. Okay. So it is because of the light which is being reflected from the spiritual sky. Everything is ultimately coming from spirit. It is not coming from anything material. Now, Prabhupada mentions that if we preach, then we become recognized by Krishna. Prabhupada has mentioned this. This is the way to become recognized by Krishna. You must give Krishna to others. That is the process. The more you give Krishna to others, the more you will get Krishna yourself. Normally, if we have some material object, just like if I have a basket full of bread, and then I give all the bread away, then I don't have anything at the end. But Krishna consciousness is the opposite. The more you give it, the more you receive it. So the more you give Krishna to others and assist others in becoming Krishna conscious, the more you will become Krishna conscious. So that is one of the secrets of becoming advanced in Krishna consciousness. You assist others in becoming advanced in Krishna consciousness. The more you help others, the more you preach, the more you'll become recognized by Krishna. That is our desire. Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur says, do not try to see Krishna, but act in such a way that Krishna will see you. So how do you become most recognized by Krishna? By trying to assist others in becoming Krishna consciousness. When you try to help others become Krishna conscious, you also become Krishna conscious. Krishna blesses you. So this is the most powerful way of advancing in devotional service. So, any points?
Very good time, the mentions for illuminating the light. where we can enter into Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, well, Vaikuntha is the abode, it is the dham of Narayan, of the Lord. So we want to go to that place. Then we can associate with Krishna in Goloka, and then we can be satisfied. Okay. Any other points? Okay.
You are telling about Suryanarayana's nearness because of presence of Suryanarayana. So Suryanarayana is the presiding deity of sun planet, or?
Surya.
So when we say sun planet, the presiding deity of sun planet, it's not a demigod, it's a partial expansion of Vishnu who presides over sun planet.
Yeah, it's some sort of partial incarnation. He's considered to be a demigod, but he's also, technically, it says in the Brahma Samhita, it describes that he's actually a partial incarnation of the Lord. Like that. Sometimes Chandra is also described like that. Sometimes Chandra is said to be a partial incarnation. He's some sort of incarnation or expansion of Aniruddha, one of the Chaturvyuha, like that. So he mentions in the Brahma Samhita, also in the Bhagavatam, in certain places Prabhupada mentions this as well. I think back in the third canto there was a few mentions about Chandra and so forth as well, when it discusses the Chaturvyuha expanding it.
Who can give us
sun?
He said sun
from a different name, or? Vivaswan is the current sun god, because the sun god changes, just like the Manus change.
So they have different names. Surya Narayan was before. And it says that every 12 months there is a different sun god. And for each month there is a different sun god with his different associates, you know, those who are pulling the chariot, Nagas, Gandharvas, Apsaras, Rakshasas. So there are like 12 different
sun gods.
Month. Yes.
Not sure.
It mentioned in other way.
Could be. As far as I understand, then. It's like Manu, like you have Swayambhuva Manu, then you have Vaivaswata Manu, there's different Manus. So as far as I understand, in Vivaswan, he's a present sun god, and then it changes from time to time.
Okay.
Like that, as far as I know. I
think
that
so. Sounds good.
Any other points?
So, with Suryanarayana, I'm confused. So, Suryanarayana is the presiding deity, and
of the sun.
Is Vivaswan.
Yeah, currently his name is Vivaswan.
And he's also
Suryanarayana. Yeah, Suryanarayana is the position. Surya means the sun. Or the
partial expansion of the Lord.
Partial expansion of the Lord. So Suryanarayana. Narayana means God. So Suryanarayana. And then his present name is Vivaswan. Like that. Just like our present Manu is Swayambhu. Swayambhuva Manu is our present Manu. But there's other Manus which are mentioned. Because they change in a day of Brahma, there are so many manus like that. So. Any other points?
It says that one who is not very much perfect to go to Vaikuntha, who is not yet fully, they are very religious, but still they are not yet developed that quality to go to Vaikuntha, they go to the Suryanarayana.
To the sun god's planet, yeah. It says that Prabhupada mentions the Kshatriyas who die in the battlefield, then they go to
Karna.
Yeah, Suryanarayana's planet, like that. So. Okay, so I'll read the Uddhava Bandhu Prabhu. Can you read the second paragraph?
A Krishna conscious being is always engaged in trying how to take all of suffering humanity back home, back to God, even if one is not successful in reclaiming all the fallen souls back to God. Still, because he is Krishna conscious, his path to Vaikuntha Loka is open. He personally becomes qualified to enter the Vaikuntha Lokas, and if anyone follows such a devotee, he also enters into Vaikuntha Loka. Others who engage in envious activities are known as karmis. Karmis are envious of one another. Simply for sense gratification, they can kill thousands of innocent animals. Jnanis are not as sinful as karmis, but they do not try to reclaim others by the world. They perform austerities for their own liberation. yogis are also engaged in self-aggrandizement by trying to attain mystic powers. But devotees, Vaishnavas, who are servants of the Lord, come forward in the actual field of work in Krishna consciousness to reclaim fallen souls. Only Krishna conscious persons are eligible to enter into spiritual world. That is clearly stated in this verse and is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, wherein the Lord says that there is no one dear to him than those who preach the gospel of Bhagavad Gita to the world.
Mm. It's one of the points in this paragraph.
If you want to enter the Vaikuntha planet, the prerequisite is you should be non-envious. That's the only prerequisite required.
It's one of the prerequisites. Did you have a point? Same. Okay. Any other points?
See, so what is the position of Kadama? He was a yogi because he has so much mystic power. So was he a devotee or was he?
Yeah, he's a devotee. Prabhupada mentioned that. He's a devotee.
Kadama.
Yeah. That was already mentioned back in third time. We already had that exam.
Yes. But the okay.
Yeah, he's a devotee. Not that.
So he became a devotee after becoming the yogi. After acquiring the mystic power. The devotees, they don't have mystic power.
Yeah, devotees have mystic powers.
Yeah?
Yeah, Jesus had mystic powers. Prabhupada had mystic powers. Devotees just don't show them so much, but they have them. When you get to Bhava Bhakti, then you're given the 8 mystic cities. I like that. But the devotees, they don't show them so much, that's all. Prabhupada had them all, but he doesn't show them. They're there.
So when he built the aeroplane for his wife, how far did he go?
He went around the universe. No. They didn't go out of the universe. We already finished that pastime.
Yeah.
They only went around the material world. It wasn't the spiritual world. So Prabhupada mentions in this paragraph that devotees are always planning new preaching strategies in order to deliver the conditioned souls. The devotee's main concern is to see that the other conditioned souls are being liberated. That was Prabhupada's main concern. So therefore, the devotee is always devising newer and newer means in order to attract the conditioned souls back to Krishna. So we have to assist our gurus in finding newer means and assisting them in fulfilling their desire to bring all the conditioned souls back home, back to Godhead. And that means creating different ways to do it. Just like we see His Holiness Indrajumna Swami, he travels around the world with his festival of India. So there's so many different ways that we can spread Krishna consciousness. So that is the main desire of the devotee, to spread Krishna consciousness. That was Prabhupada's main desire. So we need to assist our spiritual masters in fulfilling this desire. Now, if we are absorbed in Krishna consciousness, when you preach, automatically you are absorbed. Just like it mentions in the beginning of the 10th canto, in the commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says that when Bhagavatam has been spoken, the person who speaks the Bhagavatam is benefited, the person who hears the Bhagavatam is benefited, and the person who asks questions is benefited. Now, of the three, the person who speaks is benefited the most. The person who asks questions is benefited the second most. And the third most is the person who hears. Yeah? So when we preach Krishna consciousness, we get purified the most ourselves. And we are the ones who get the most purification. That's why we must preach. Because your mind can wander while you're hearing. Your mind cannot wander as much while you're asking questions like that. And when you're speaking the Bhagavatam, your mind cannot wander hardly at all. It's very difficult for your mind to wander away when you're giving the lecture. It's not impossible, but it's more difficult. So therefore that is recommended, that you preach to others. Because the more you preach to others, then the more you become absorbed in Krishna, intensely. So that's why preaching is so purifying, so potent. Any points? Okay. Persons who are peaceful, equipoised, cleansed and purified, and who know the art of pleasing all other living entities, keep friendship only with devotees of the Lord. They alone can very easily achieve the perfection of going back home, back to Godhead. Merely Prabhu, can you read that? First paragraph.
The description of this verse fully indicates that only devotees are eligible to enter into the kingdom of God. The first point stated is that devotees are peaceful, for they have no demands for their personal sense gratification. They are simply dedicated to the service of the Lord. Kamis cannot be peaceful because they have immense demands for sense gratification. As for Jnanis, they cannot be peaceful because they are too busy trying to attain liberation or merge with the existence of the Supreme. Similarly, yogis are also restless to get mystic power. But a devotee is peaceful because he is fully surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thinks of himself as completely helpless, just as a child feels complete peace in depending on the parent. So a devotee is completely peaceful, for it depends on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
So what are the points in this first paragraph?
Devotees are peaceful because they are fully surrendered to Krishna. Okay, the verse you were mentioning last time that
Bhakti Mukti Siddhi Kama. So the jnanis are never peaceful. The kamis are never peaceful. The yogis are never peaceful because they always aspire for more. They want something else like that. A kami wants new sense gratification. Just like you get one house, what do you want? Another house. And then you have one car, what do you want? A newer car. So kamis, their desires are never fulfilled. Jnanis, their desires are never fulfilled. Because they are philosophically speculating. Their desires are never fulfilled. They're never peaceful. They don't come to just a peaceful conclusion. We were reading the Bhagavatam in the shloka this morning in the purport. It describes the jnanis are never peaceful because when they get together, then they simply quarrel. They're never just peaceful. Satisfied. But rather they want to quarrel with others. Improve their knowledge or like that. Not satisfying. So they're not peaceful. And similarly the yogis are not peaceful. Because they always desire some mystic city. And then they want another city and another city. But the devotees are peaceful. They are shanta. Krishna bhakta. Nishkama. Because they don't have desires. The devotees are satisfied with what? Prabhupada explains here, service to Krishna. That's enough. Prabhupada said that we can just do our service and then at the end of the day we put our head down and we take rest and then immediately we go to sleep. Peaceful. Not that we're desiring something more. We're just satisfied. We just want some simple service, some simple prasadam, some simple opportunity to do some service, and then devotees are satisfied. They're not looking for more and more and more. But this is only possible by being Krishna conscious. Now Prabhupada explains that the devotees are dependent upon Krishna. Because they depend on Krishna, then they are peaceful. Because they understand that Krishna will fulfill all of our desires. Just like when I was young, then I used to go to Sunday school. Sunday school is like a church in Christianity, like that. So they have Sunday school for the children. The adults go to church and the kids go to Sunday school. So I used to go to Sunday school. And then they taught me that when you ask God for something, when you pray to God for something, then He will answer you in three ways. He will say yes, no, or wait. Okay. So I remember that even till now. My whole life, that's how I always think. You know, when we ask Krishna, Krishna, I have some desire, like that. Even we don't ask Him, but it's in our heart and Krishna knows. But we understand. Krishna may say yes, He may say no, or He may say wait. So that is the situation. The devotees are peaceful. Because if Krishna wants, He will give it to us. If He doesn't want, if He thinks it's not good for us, then He won't give it. And if He wants us to wait, then He'll ask us to wait. So devotees are peaceful. We don't put demands. But everyone else, the kamis, the jnanis, and the yogis, they're never peaceful because they always want something. Right? And especially these days, people want everything now, as soon as possible. Why should I wait for anything? I must have it now. That's artificial. And we see that people are not satisfied. So, did you have a point?
Who always, as Kanga yogis, have desires? And also, we can see that to achieve perfection in Satya Yoga, the process is Ashtanga Yoga. So, I mean, I'm a bit confused because we say Ashtanga Yoga is not good and it's only the chance that it is good. But according to this point, it seems like the best force is wrong.
Yeah, so it means that Ashtanga Yoga is the process. Just like in Kali Yuga, chanting Hare Krishna is the process. But you can chant Hare Krishna with material desires. Right? To say you want a new car, so you can chant Hare Krishna and you'll get a new car.
So you don't have to have the desires, you still can achieve.
It's the process, so it means that, as we said last night, then the devotee, the bhakta, he can also do Ashtanga Yoga. He can follow that process, but his motivation is to serve Krishna. Right? It's to realize Paramatma and then realize Bhagavan. Right? Whereas the yogi, he may be trying to realize Paramatma, not Bhagavad. Or he may want to merge into Paramatma. Or he may want mystic cities. That's why he's doing his Ashtanga process. So there's different motivations. The process is the same, but the motivation is different. So. Any other points?
Is it abnormal to have the greed to serve the Lord and getting the anxiety?
No, it's not abnormal.
Hmm?
It's not abnormal. Lila Maya, it doesn't work.
Coming for some time, then it's going on.
No, it's not working. We tried it last night as well. I'll tell Aniruddha, Prabhu, and Prabhu, try to get it fixed. It's not working. It's something wrong. I'm sorry, it's cold.
No.
So. You want to serve the Lord, and if you can't reach your goal, then you feel a bit anxiety.
No, that's good. That's not negative. That's good.
But then the peace is not there. You are in anxiety.
Yeah, our peace is different. Our peace means anxiety.
Okay.
That is, for devotees, we're happy. We're peaceful, but it doesn't mean you'll be peaceful. It means you'll be in anxiety. Pretty much since I joined ISKCON, when I first came to the temple, first time ever, right? I saw Jagannath Balabhaprabhu was sitting on the step in the temple. I walked into the temple room, and he was sitting near Prabhupada, just on the step reading. And I saw him; he was so peaceful. I thought I want to be like him. And then I joined, and I haven't been peaceful ever since. That's our movement. Where's the peace in our movement? You get a little bit of peace, but most of the time it's anxiety because there's so much service to do. Just like today, you know, because I'm a little bit, my body's not strong yet, so I had so much service. I had to give Bhagavatam class in the morning. I couldn't wake up till 6 o'clock because my body is not so strong, so I didn't chant any rounds. So I give Bhagavatam class, and then after Bhagavatam class, I had to go and see Prabhu. Yeah, worship. I had to worship Giriraj, right? Go and see Prabhu because he wanted to have some meeting. So I saw him, then started chanting my rounds, then prepared Bhagavatam class, then finished my rounds. Still, I have a few to go. Then I had to go and see Aniruddha Prabhu for a meeting, and then come and give Bhakti Vaibhav tonight. So where's the peace? No peace since I joined. Just anxiety. So, but do we want to go anywhere else? Prabhupada said it's like drinking hot sugar cane juice. That is ISKCON.
So that is not abnormal.
No, it's not abnormal. That's what we all go through.
Because I'm already in anxiety.
Yeah, that means you're making advancement. So that is good.
Not fasting.
Yeah, but the more anxiety you have, the faster you'll go. Well, that's, increase your anxiety.
Sometimes when we are in so much anxiety about the services and all, then it starts going in the mode of passion. So how do we draw that line? Still we say, because even I go through a lot of anxiety, some days become very overwhelming, and along with the housework and temple services and also, then sometimes we tend to go in the mode of passion, which is not good for devotional service.
Yeah, sometimes you use mode of passion, but you shouldn't be in mode of passion all the time. Like sometimes we have to use the mode of passion to get something done. It says that when Lord Brahma creates the material world, he has to use the mode of passion to create the world, otherwise it won't get done. But he prays to the Lord before he begins his services, please do not let the mode of passion overwhelm me. So sometimes we can use a little bit of passion to get things happening, but not that we're completely overcome by it and in it all the time. We have to be able to set back and be in our sadhana. That means that the devotee should have one day off a week. One day he should just take it easy, spend some time with the family, like that. Just chant some rounds peacefully, do some extra reading like that. Don't be passionate all the time, all the time, all the time. Like that. Have some balance. And try to live your life in a regulated way so you can get up early, chant your rounds. Don't be like too full on. Like that. Sometimes you have to drop a few things in order to make your life more sane. Otherwise your life just becomes too like that. Just like when I was at the farm before I had the accident, it was just full on, full on, full on. Now that I've slowed down again, and now I'm starting, now I'm going to try not to get too fast again, but try to make it a little bit more gradual this time, like that, if it's possible. So.
Knowing the Krishna consciousness is an endless process and a continuous process. Knowing the Krishna consciousness is an endless and a continuous process, how can be a devotee in a peaceful, in a confused state of mind to have more knowledge about Krishna consciousness by hearing lectures or by doing chanting or whatever it is?
Is that a question or? I'm not sure what's the question.
A devotee is a confused state of mind. He really wants to
So how to do
how
it?
Can be a peaceful man. Instead of thinking more and more, learning from others, they will have a confused state of it, to learn more and more about Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, the anxiety should be there that I want to know more about Krishna. That is good. But not that we become confused or anything. The result of hearing is that our doubts disappear. Like that. So all of our confusion should go away. The more we hear, then the more we understand. Like that. So. Okay. So, Yogeshwara, can you read the next paragraph?
The devotee is equipoised. He sees everything on the same transcendental platform. The devotee knows that although a conditioned soul has a particular type of body according to his path-related activities, factually everyone is a part of the Supreme Lord. A devotee sees all living entities with spiritual vision and does not discriminate on the platform of bodily concept of life. Such qualities develop only in the association of devotees. Without the association of devotees, one cannot advance in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we have established the International Society of Krishna Consciousness. Actually, whoever lives in this society automatically develops Krishna consciousness. Devotees are dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is only dear to devotees. On this platform only can one make progress in Krishna consciousness. Persons in Krishna consciousness or devotees of the Lord can please everyone, as is evident in Krishna consciousness movement. We invite everyone without discrimination. We request everyone to sit down and chant the Hare Krishna mantra and take as much prasad as we can supply. And thus everyone is pleased with us. This is the qualification. Sarva Bhutanu Ganjana. As for purification, no one can be more pure than devotees. Anyone who once utters the name of Vishnu immediately becomes purified inside and outside. Jat Smaret Pundrika Kshama. Since a devotee constantly chants the Hare Krishna mantra, no contamination of the material world can touch him. He is therefore actually purified. Muchi Haya Suchi Haya Yadi Krishna Bhaje. It is said that even a cobbler or a person born in the family of a cobbler can be elevated to the position of a brahmana, suchi, if he takes to Krishna consciousness. Any person who is purely Krishna conscious, who engages in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, is the purest in the whole universe.
So, any points here?
On Friday last week, Guru Maharaj had an official launch of the book, The Journey Home. And this was conducted in one of the most prestigious halls in Bombay. All the elite society people, from the wealthiest of people from Bombay, the financial capital, they were, many of them were there, all illustrious, you know, people who come in the newspapers normally, industrialists, film stars, politicians, bureaucrats, so many people were there. And amongst all these people, Maharaj was just sitting without his slippers, and he was just in another world. And when I looked at the photographs, and immediately when I saw film stars, my attention went here and there, and I got agitated after seeing those photographs. And then I called up Chopati, and then I asked Premi Prabhu, you know, how is Maharaj so equipoised amongst all these personalities? So then he was explaining to me that, you know, don't impose your consciousness on Maharaj. Because he says that because of our conditioning, we tend to develop, you know, awe, and you know, we are awestruck when we see such personalities. But a pure devotee realizes that at the end of the day, everyone is belonging to the same species. It's one and the same. And all of us, no matter who we are in this material world, are all suffering here. This place is, we have to be completely convinced that, you know, they are suffering. Because when we get too awestruck with their opulence, then we don't think that they are suffering. And therefore we get envious, or we just are awestruck and we are not able to have compassion for them. So whereas a devotee who is equipoised, then such a person can develop compassion. And later on he also mentioned that now you can understand why preaching is so difficult in the heavenly planets. The opulence which this glitterati of Bombay has is nothing compared to the opulence which Indra has in the heavenly planets. So preaching in heaven and hell is very difficult. So this is the right planet. That's all you can do.
Bharadvaj ki. Good. Anything else? So the many qualities which are mentioned here, which are qualifications to enter into the spiritual world. If you want to become fully Krishna conscious, then you must develop these different qualities. So one of the qualities Prabhupada is mentioning, the Bhagavatam is mentioning, a devotee does not discriminate between different living entities. It means that we give respect to all living entities. Prabhupada says that, why is it that they are slaughtering the cows? Just like sometimes we have these different groups like Save the Whales, but then they go to McDonald's and eat the cow. So then where is the logic? Save one living entity, not the other. No, save all living entities. We see all living entities as being part and parcel of Krishna. So Mahim Shat Sava Bhutani. One should not offer, one should not disrespect or harm any living entity. Prabhupada explains we do not even harm a mosquito. We do not even harm a fly or an ant. Just like one time Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he went into a kitchen in India. He was cooking for Prabhupada and there were so many mosquitoes in there. So then before he began cooking, then he killed so many mosquitoes. And then afterwards he told Prabhupada, he said, I killed so many mosquitoes because they were all going to bite me. And Prabhupada said, no, you should not have done it. He said, if they bite you, then you may. Like that. But he said, if they're not doing anything, then you should not kill. So this is the respect. The devotee offers respect to all living entities. He does not disrespect a tree or a plant or... so many examples where Prabhupada would not harm a tree or a plant like that. Sometimes there was, I think it was in Dallas back in the 70s, there was one tree, big tree, and it was very close to the building where the devotees had the temple in Dallas. And Prabhupada came to the temple, and then he came back another time, and the devotees had cut the tree down. And Prabhupada said, why have you cut the tree down? What the tree has done for you? So we should not be whimsical like this. Like sometimes at the farm we had to cut down some big trees because they were going to, if they fall, which one day they will land on the building. So we had to cut down. But not that we just go and cut any tree whimsically. That is sinful like that. So we should not disrespect any living entity. And then another quality which is mentioned is... Prabhupada explains that you only make advancement when you are in the association of other devotees. If you do not associate with devotees, you cannot advance in your Krishna consciousness. This is one of the main teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sadhu Sangha, Sava Shastri Koi, Lava Matra, Sadhu Sangha, Sava Siddhi Hoi. That one must associate with sadhus, with saintly people. This is how we advance in Krishna consciousness. As we said in the class this morning, it's very difficult to advance by yourself. Because the other paths, like the path of jnana, which this morning we were studying, Krishna was teaching to Uddhava and he was comparing the path of jnana yoga and bhakti yoga. So the path of jnana yoga, generally you have to perform it by yourself. You go off to the Himalayas or someplace and you perform solitary bhajan, austerities, tapasya, like that. And you have to perform by yourself. But it's very difficult. Krishna says in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it is troublesome and difficult, this path, this impersonal path. Whereas the path of bhakti is much easier. Susukham, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Why is it easy? Why is it joyful? Because we associate with devotees. Just like if I come here into the theatre every Monday night, every Tuesday night between 7:30 and 9 o'clock by myself, how enjoyable is it? Prabhupada said we should preach to the walls. But it's not the same, factually speaking. It's much more enjoyable when all of you come. Like that. If we do it by ourselves, we try to make advancement by ourselves, it's difficult. We try to take association with devotees, it becomes much easier to advance. So it is, Prabhupada explains in this purport, you only advance in association. By yourself, it is much more difficult to advance. Now Prabhupada explains that the devotees, they please everyone by giving them Krishna. Prabhupada says, that's why the devotees are popular with everyone. Because anyone can walk into this temple from any walk of life and we sit down with them, we chant Hare Krishna and we give them prasad. So what happens when you sit down with someone, you chant Hare Krishna and you give them prasad? Prabhupada explains, automatically they like you. I remember the first time I ever came to this temple, I went upstairs for the Rajbhog and I sat down and they gave me prasad. So automatically I thought, oh, this is a good place. And then what happened? Then they came around the second time. They said, would you like more? I said, this is a very good place. And then I had the sweet rice. Sometimes devotees can remember the first time they ever had prasadam. So I remember the first time I had prasadam, it was camphor sweet rice. So I had the sweet rice, and then they came back and they said, do you want more sweet rice? And then I thought, this is a very good place. I thought, I'll keep coming here. Actually, in my mind, I was thinking, the first time I came here, I thought, I never want to leave this place. So this is the effect. We give everyone prasadam, we give them the chanting of the holy name, and automatically people think, oh, it's such a nice movement. Like this. Maybe people will not join it fully, but still they will feel, these people are so nice. I also want to associate with them. And then Prabhupada explains that how does a devotee remain pure in this world? By chanting Hare Krishna. Prabhupada says at the end of the purport, now, who is the most pure person in this world?
Devotees.
Yeah, what does Prabhupada say at the very end of the purport? He says, any person who is purely Krishna conscious and who engages in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra is the purest in the whole universe. So you just chant the Hare Krishna mantra. This is how you purify your consciousness. This is how you remain pure, by constantly chanting. So this is our duty. Kirtaniyaha sada hari. How do you remain pure? Constantly. You have to chant all the time. Kirtaniyaha sada. Means sada, means always chant. Alright, the more we chant, the more pure we remain. Otherwise our consciousness becomes clouded, becomes affected by Maya. So if we continuously chant, then we'll remain pure, purified. Any points?
You mentioned about killing the living entities. We should not kill any living entity. If you see by mistake, every day we do kill some living entities by mistake. What happens to that? Do we incur karma for that?
This is explained in the Krishna book. Prabhupada mentions that there are five ways that every day we kill living entities. One is by breathing. One is by lighting the fire when we cook. One is by walking. And then there's two other ways. I think one is by bathing.
Cleaning the house.
Yeah, I can't remember. There's five ways. Yeah. Prabhupada mentions that every day we are killing living entities. So just like the Jain religion, quite often they wear their mouth there like that. So Prabhupada explains that if you're engaged in devotional activity, like in other words, when we cook, right, we turn on the fire, we kill living entities, but if we offer the bhoga to Krishna, then there's no reaction. All that karma is purified. Just like now, we're breathing, so we're killing living entities. But if we're engaged in devotional activity, there's no reaction. But for the non-devotees, there's reaction. Is that answer? Any other point?
I read somewhere that about Shraddha and Sadhu Sangha, and it was mentioned in the context of the association of devotees being very powerful. So it was mentioned that Shraddha gives us knowledge, and Sadhu Sangha is knowledge and philosophy in nature. When we see it, devotees doing it. So that's why that level is Shraddha and Sadhu Sangha. Philosophy and philosophy in action.
About compassion, Shruti Kirti Prabhu was here. He was mentioning that once he was with Prabhupada, there was a small insect crawling near the petal of the flower. So Prabhupada said, can you see that creature? He said, no, I can't see. But look carefully. Second time also, he said, no, Prabhupada, I can't see. So Prabhupada prayed, took the petal up, showed the insect, go out in the garden and throw it there. So he was so compassionate to each and every living entity. Perfected them.
Yeah, one time he was in Mayapur, and then Prabhupada picked up, he was a cockroach or a beetle or something, and he took it to the window and he said, I give you the whole world. Another time, then Prabhupada, one devotee came into his room and he was sitting there. He had a low desk in front of him, and he said to the devotee, he said, do you see this ant? So the devotee looked on the desk and he couldn't see the ant. He said, there wasn't an ant there. But Prabhupada said, do you see this ant? So he wasn't sure what to say, because if Prabhupada said there was an ant there, and, you know, but he couldn't see an ant. He said there wasn't an ant there, but Prabhupada was saying there was an ant there. So then he was thinking maybe there's a spiritual ant there. he wasn't sure what to think. So Prabhupada said, do you see this ant? And he just looked at Prabhupada, and he just didn't know what to say. And Prabhupada said, our only business is to make this ant Krishna conscious. So he said, please help me do it. Like that. So Prabhupada was making the point. Okay.
So there are four items written there. So the cleanliness and the purification play together.
Cleanliness. In the Sanskrit it says Shuddha. So in the Sanskrit there's only one word. Shanta, Samadrisha, Shuddha, Bhuta Anu Ranjana. Like that. So it's four items. Prabhupada says purified and clean in the English, but in the Sanskrit it's just Shuddha.
Things I emphasize in chapter 12 in devotional service that people who are very peaceful in the forest, all these things are very dear to me, which is basically reiterating the same point as well.
Yeah, the Bhagavatam is like an expansion of the Gita. Whatever's there in 700 verses then becomes expanded into 18,000 verses. In this way, the fully Krishna conscious Dhruva Maharaj, the exalted son of Maharaj Uttanapad, attained the summit of the three statuses of planetary systems. So Prabhupada explains within the purport that if we stick to the process of Krishna consciousness, eventually we will attain the goal. My spiritual master said this to me one day. He said, if you just stick to something, you will eventually attain the goal. Like that. So this is the order of Prabhupada, the order of the spiritual master. We just stick to the path of Krishna consciousness through thick and thin. Sometimes it is easy being a devotee, other times it's very difficult being a devotee. All of us get tests like that. And tests come in so many different ways, right? Physically, mentally, from other living entities, from other devotees, like that. So many tests come, but we do not give up the path. We do not give up the process. This is a test of our nishtha. Nishtha means steadiness in devotional service. That in order to advance in Krishna consciousness, you must become steady or fixed. This is nishtita bhakti, as opposed to anishtita or unsteady bhakti. Like that. So, when you become steady and fixed, then you will attain the goal. It is just a matter of time until we become Krishna conscious. But we have to remain steady, we have to remain fixed. Right? We do not give up the process under any circumstances. We don't stop chanting our rounds under any circumstances. Right? We don't stop performing our devotional activities under any circumstances. We don't stop worshipping the deity under any circumstances. Right? We keep doing our seva. Right? And then Krishna will reward us in due course of time.
Thank you. So saying that if we aspire to be a billionaire, if we work hard for that, and if not becoming billionaires, we'll end up being a millionaire at least. In the same way, if we aspire for pure love of Krishna, and if we can't achieve, is it something that we go to higher planets or in spiritual Vaikuntha planets, not achieve that goal?
Yeah, it means that you'll keep doing devotional service, that's all. If your desire is to do devotional service, then you'll keep doing devotional service. Wherever Krishna puts you, that's up to Krishna. Because when we die, we don't know where we're going to go. That's up to Krishna. Right? But the point is that if we desire to do devotional service, then we'll keep doing devotional service. So then what's the loss?
So wherever we are, we'll keep doing devotional service.
If that's your desire, yeah. If you desire something else, then you might go somewhere else. But if your only desire, or your principal desire, is to serve Krishna, then nothing. And then where will you end up then? We're not going to end up anywhere bad. What's the problem? What's the worst that can happen to us? The worst that can happen is if we come back to ISKCON. So that's not bad. That's the worst we can get. That's like the lowest level we can do. The highest level could be Kaloka Vrindavan, but the lowest means we take birth in ISKCON again. So where's the loss? It's good. It's either good, It's better, better, best. That's all. Like that. Just like it says in Nectar Devotion, Prabhupada explains, Dwarka is perfect, Mathura is more perfect, and Vrindavan is most perfect. So it's just different degrees of perfection, that's all. So we're going to end up either in a perfect situation or a more perfect situation or the most perfect situation. So that's up to Krishna. Just do your service and wherever you go, then that's Krishna's desire. Any other points?
Yeah, I just Guru Maharaj got so purified after he did not trust the concept of his concept on his forehead. So I mean, was it the yoga maya that, I mean, he said that you will die and your stepbrother will die. So I mean, why couldn't he ask him for mercy for them?
Didn't you ask this last night?
No.
Someone else did. Someone asked the same question last night.
No, I wasn't.
You weren't here?
No.
Weren't you
I
here?
I didn't ask.
Okay. Like that.
Was it the yoga maya?
That he didn't ask for the others. He asked for his mother because his mother gave him the blessing that he would become Krishna conscious. She gave him the original instruction which led him to becoming Krishna conscious. So that's why he especially thought of her, that's all.
No, I'm just thinking, I mean, he was such an exalted person after his son.
No, he thinks of everyone, but especially he thought of his mother because she especially gave him instructions.
Yeah, I know, but when the Lord was there, he was benedicting him. And then he said to him that your Suruchi will die and your brother will die.
Yeah, that's up to Krishna. Krishna arranged that.
So couldn't he ask some mercy for them?
You might have to speak to Dhruva Maharaj. I can tell you where he is.
Yeah, but I don't think I can reach
them. Yeah, maybe you can't reach them. That's your problem.
Maybe you can take me if you know where he is.
Yeah, we're going to do. Were you here last night?
Huh?
Were you here last night for the class?
Last
night.
Yeah.
You were here. Okay. So at the end of the year, we'll do a special course.
Okay.
On how to fly with pigeons. So please come back and we'll teach you all these things.
Okay.
Like that. You have to bring your own pigeons though. So many. Okay. Where are we up to?
39.
Okay. Saint Maitreya continued, my dear Vidura, descendant of Kuru, as a herd of bulls circumambulates a central pole on their right side, all the luminaries within the universal sky unceasingly circumambulate the abode of Dhruva Maharaj with great force and speed. So this is the power of Krishna. Because Prabhupada explains in the purport that the sun travels at 16,000 miles per second. So just think about that. This is how powerful Krishna is. Right? We get proud because we make a clock. One little clock. Men can make clocks. Right? So you make one little clock and it goes tick, tick, tick. It's quite wonderful, actually. It's something I can't do. I don't have that ability. But some people, they can make a clock. It's quite an achievement. But Krishna makes a clock, planets which are spinning, 16,000 miles an hour. Sorry, a second. Like, you know, just think about it. Yeah, the sun just moves 16,000 miles. Yeah, it's incredible to even think about it. This is God. This is God's potency, His power. Like that. So Prabhupada says that all the planets, or the Bhagavatam is explaining that all of the planets are circumambulating Dhruva Loka, the pole star. So Prabhupada explains this means that we must offer respect to a devotee. Whenever we meet devotees, we must be respectful. Because you see that all of the leaders of the planets, they're conscientiously circumambulating the pole star, Dhruva Maharaj, out of respect. Why do they understand this planet is the most special? It is a spiritual planet within the material world. And by circumambulating it, they're feeling they're offering respect to Dhruva Maharaj and the residents of that planet. So this is the attitude that devotees must have. We must be respectful to other devotees. Yeah? So much of the time, we don't make advancement in Krishna consciousness because we don't respect devotees properly. We have like an inherent envy towards other devotees. We have an inherent envy towards offering respect to other devotees. We resist offering proper respect to other devotees. And that stops us from advancing in our Krishna consciousness. So we see that the natural tendency of those who are purified is to offer respect to other devotees. So all the planets are circumambulating around Dhruva Loka, out of respect for Dhruva Maharaj, the pure devotee. Okay. After observing the glories of Dhruva Maharaj, the great sage Narada, playing his veena, went to the sacrificial arena of the Prachetas and very happily chanted the following three verses. So Prabhupada makes us understand that the guru becomes proud of the achievements of the disciple. When the guru sees the disciple is advancing in Krishna consciousness, he becomes very pleased. And Prabhupada was so proud of the achievements of his disciples. So this is natural for the guru to become very pleased when he sees the disciple is advancing. This is how we reciprocate with our guru. Our guru is giving us so many instructions. He's giving us so much inspiration. So he wants to see us also becoming advanced in Krishna consciousness. Just like the parents, they expect the child to take up responsibility. As he gets older, he should become more responsible. Then he can actually return or put some input back into the family. It's expected, especially in a traditional setting, that the child, as he gets older, then he will give so much back to the family. That is expected. And the more he gives, then the more proud they become of his achievements. So the guru is expecting that as we become more advanced, we will give more back. We will do more service. We will carry more weight. We will preach on behalf of the disciplic succession. And this will give the guru great pleasure. So now, Narada, he gives these three verses, verses 41, 42 and 43, in glorification of Dhruva Maharaj. Because Narada, he has many disciples. You have to understand, Narada, when you read the Bhagavatam, practically he's the guru of everyone in the Bhagavatam. If you look all the way through the Bhagavatam, Narada Muni is constantly in the Bhagavatam. He's the spiritual master of so many people. But Dhruva Maharaj is exalted even amongst his disciples. Yeah, later on there's the pastime with the Prachetas, so I'm not sure if this is referring to those particular personalities. I'm not sure.
Who are Prachetas or the progenitors? Because this term has come for the first time.
Yeah, I'm not sure who he's referring to at this point, because I know the Prachetas come a little bit later. They're like some descendants like that. But I'm not sure if it's this particular group or... I'm not sure who it is, because it doesn't say. The great sage Narada said, simply by the influence of his spiritual advancement and powerful austerity, Dhruva Maharaj, the son of Suniti, who was devoted to her husband, acquired an exalted position not possible to attain even for the so-called Vedantists, or strict followers of the Vedic principles, not to speak of ordinary human beings. So he is emphasizing here that what is not attainable by any other process is attainable by bhakti. We mentioned this in the class this morning, that it is not possible to attain the spiritual world through the process of karma, jnana, or yoga. It is only through bhakti yoga, through devotional service, that you can attain Krishna Loka, Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna consciousness. It is not possible by any other means. So, by following the process of bhakti, one attains the supreme abode. And this is proven in the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj. But in any other process, you cannot attain the supreme destination. In the process of karma, jnana, or yoga, then you can attain some material destination, but you cannot transcend the material world. Except, I mean, through jnana and through yoga, you can go to the Brahma Jyoti, but still then you have to come back to the material world. There's...
What is the meaning of the sentence? Simply by the influence of the spiritual advancement, means what is that?
Is it in the translation or the purport?
Yeah, translation.
Simply by the influence of his spiritual advancement and powerful austerity. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I could understand powerful austerity as a means, but what is the meaning of saying the influence of his spiritual advancement? I didn't really understand that.
By him becoming more advanced spiritually. By making spiritual advancement, more or less that's what it's saying. Does that make sense? Okay. The great saint's narrator continued, "Just see how Dhruva Maharaj, aggrieved by the harsh words of his stepmother, went to the forest at the age of only 5 years and under my direction underwent austerity. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is unconquerable, Dhruva Maharaj defeated him with the specific qualifications possessed by the Lord's devotees." So Prabhupada explains in the purport that Krishna is only conquered by bhakti. When one has bhakti, one will conquer Krishna. Now, if you read the purport, Prabhupada explains it is a certain type of bhakti. Specifically, that conquers Krishna, it is called rag. Because it explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that when one worships Krishna with awe and reverence, it does not conquer Krishna. When you worship the deity with awe and reverence, it attracts Lakshmi Narayan. But in order to attract Radha Krishna, one must worship them with spontaneous attachment, which is rag bhakti. This is explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the difference between Vaiti Bhakti and Rag Bhakti. Now, one must strictly follow the instructions of one's guru. Prabhupada explains in the purport that Yashya Prasadad Bhagavat Prasado Yashya Prasadam Na Gitikutoki, that you can only attract Krishna by pleasing the guru. If you do not get the guru's mercy, then you cannot please Krishna. If you get the guru's mercy, then you will definitely get Bhagavat Prasad. Bhagavat Prasad means the mercy of Krishna. But if you do not get Guru Prasad, then you will not get Bhagavat Prasad. You will not get the mercy of Krishna until you get the mercy of the spiritual master. If you get the mercy of the spiritual master, then automatically you will get the mercy of Krishna. And then Prabhupada explains in the second paragraph, how do we attain love for Krishna? What is the principal means, which is given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? What is the main way of attaining love for Krishna? Yeah, one must hear from devotees. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was hearing from Ramananda Roy. He was speaking to Ramananda Roy. And Ramananda Roy was explaining to him that there are different ways to attain perfection. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted his offering or his instruction when he first came to the point of saying that the way that we receive Krishna's mercy is by hearing from devotees. This is actually the principal method of advancing in Krishna consciousness. When we hear from sadhus, when we get the association of advanced devotees and we hear from them, then we make advancement. This is the primary way of advancing in Krishna consciousness. And then the final verse for this section. Dhruva Maharaj attained an exalted position at the age of only 5 or 6 years, after undergoing austerity for 6 months. Alas, a great Kshatriya cannot achieve such a position even after undergoing austerities for many, many years. So Dhruva Maharaj was only 5 years old. Now, normally one would need training. And that is the duty of the spiritual master, to train the disciple so that the disciple becomes qualified and becomes purified. But Dhruva Maharaj, he was so exalted, out of all of Narada's disciples, he was the most exalted because he had not undergone the training. Now, he was only 5 years old, which means he did not have an opportunity to be trained fully by the guru, by his cooler guru. He had not gone to guru coolers yet. He didn't have the opportunity. So normally we require a great deal of training before we can become purified and qualified as devotees. But Dhruva Maharaj, he was only 5 years old. He had not undergone all the training yet. And yet he still attained love for Krishna. So how exalted was Dhruva Maharaj? So Prabhupada says that what was Dhruva Maharaj's qualification? He was both sincere and serious about attaining the goal. So that is the qualification at the end of the day. The most important qualification for us to become Krishna conscious is our seriousness to attain the goal. And if we are serious, then we can go back to Godhead, Prabhupada explains, in this lifetime. Prabhupada explains that what was possible for Dhruva Maharaj is also possible for us. But we must have the same type of seriousness in our application of devotional service as Dhruva Maharaj had. That is the point, because after one more class we'll be finished this pastime. So one of the main points of this pastime is that we must become serious in our Krishna consciousness. Because Dhruva Maharaj was serious. He was only 5 years old. He was just a boy. But he attained Krishna consciousness in 6 months. Why? Because he was serious. So if we also become serious, if we learn this lesson from this pastime, we can also attain Krishna consciousness in this lifetime. It is possible. But it depends on our desire. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki?
Yeah.
What about the last minute? He did not get ready.
He was in the womb of the mother. We'll discuss in a moment. So then next week we'll finish the chapter, and then on Tuesday night we'll have the revision of the section. Okay. Prahlad is also a pure devotee.
I'm getting old. I require 7 hours of sleep.
Do you go to Mongolia?